Now, here's another question. Does this mean that we are destined to always have bad things coming our way? It doesn't mean that. No is the correct answer. It doesn't mean that we're always destined to have bad things coming our way. And I want to show you some scriptures to prove this to you. In Matthew 6:13, Jesus said in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, "And lead us not," he's teaching us how to pray. "And lead us," he says, "say this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Jesus told us to pray that way. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Well, I thought it was God's will to lead us into temptation and cause evil things to come on us. No, no, no. Jesus would not have said that if that were God's will. It's not God's will for us to go through temptations. His will is to deliver us. That's why Jesus said, pray that. You think Jesus would give us a prayer to pray and God wouldn't answer it? Praise God. "Father, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil." Would God do that? Yes. If it were not his will to lead us around temptation. See, there's temptations and trials and testing in the world, but we can be led around those things. I often tell the story about the lady who says she's going to go across town to a certain place, and she had to go somewhere, and she felt something in her spirit said, "Don't go that way. It's a bad part of town." She said, "Bless God, he will give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways, all my comings and goings." And she went through the town and got mugged, you know. And she said later, "Well, I just had a bad feeling about that. Maybe the Lord was trying to lead you around that." Praise God. See, we've got to listen to the Lord when he tries to lead us sometimes. Anyhow, so here's another scripture verse. Psalm 91, verse 10 through 12. I'm sure we all know this scripture. "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your comings and goings, all your ways, all your journeys. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you should dash your foot against a stone." He gives his angels charge over us to keep us, guard us, protect us. See, there are many promises in the Bible that give supernatural protection, that promise supernatural protection for the people of God. See, we got to get in there and find those and start feeding ourselves with them. Let faith come for that. God will deliver us from those things, supernatural protection. Then we can avoid a lot of the unpleasant things we might otherwise experience. If we hear and receive the scriptures about divine protection, faith will come for divine protection. Just like if you listen to the scriptures for healing, faith will come for healing. Praise God. You plant a seed and it's going to grow what it's supposed to grow. We can avoid a lot of bad things we would otherwise experience. Yes, God will deliver us from problems and situations and trials. We know we always have the victory when we go through those things. But his perfect will is to help us avoid them altogether. Glory to God. Is this getting a little bit better as we go? I don't think anybody wants to talk about trials and tribulations much because, you know, "Oh, no, I don't want that. Praise God." But the thing is, it's not God's will for us to have those things. But we've got to learn to walk in that protection. I've got more scriptures to prove this right here. Remember we talked about the scripture early, Malachi 3:10. "Bring the tithes in the storehouse, prove me if I'll not open the windows of heaven, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." Well, that's divine protection. See, the Bible says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's the devourer. He wants to get your stuff. He wants to steal, kill, destroy, et cetera, et cetera. But we can come into a place that he's rebuked on our behalf. Not going to touch our stuff. You don't have the refrigerator breaking down every 3 weeks or the washing machine or whatever. All your stuff lasts a long time because of the devourer's rebuke. Okay, let's move along. So it's God's will to protect us from bad things, not to bring them on us. Here's another verse about God wanting to protect us. This is in Job. Now, Job was going through some things, you might say. He had every reason to blame God and lash out at God. But listen to what he says in Job 37, verse 23. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Well, Job was very afflicted at that time. He said, God doesn't afflict people. He's not going to afflict me. Praise God. God is good all the time. He's not going to send bad things our way. He's our Heavenly Father who loves us. Jesus said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? See, it's his desire to give us good, to do good for us. God is good. Hallelujah. Anyway, it's his will for us to be blessed and happy and victorious. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me read one more scripture that kind of adds to this. It doesn't sum it up totally. There's numerous scriptures that back this up. But there's a scripture in Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, which is very nice along this line. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. Hear the word of God. Bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. See, that's our part to put the word of God in us, to put it in us. That's our part of the covenant. Okay, Lord, I want to go off on that, but I'm not going to. Praise God. Not going to do it. Praise God. Too much time. Deuteronomy 11:21, you skip down to verse 21, it says, after you do that, so that your days may be multiplied, which means you're going to have long life, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Our lives are supposed to be like days of heaven upon the earth. That's what God's will is for our lives. Praise God. Some of you are looking at me like, are you sure about that? Well, I think so. I believe I am sure about it. Now, we might have to fight off the devil every now and then. I mean, he's still here. He's still doing his thing. Yeah, we might have to stand against what the world throws at us. But we do have an unfair advantage. God has given us the victory in every situation. The victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Praise God. You still out there? Did you go home yet? Praise God. I think you're still there. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to move to another section. How much faith do we have? I want to think about this a little bit more. How much faith do we actually have? So I said, well, yeah, that's a good answer. As much as we want. I heard Rick Joyner say one time, we're all as close to God as we want to be. Selah. So, in other words, you can be closer if you work on it. But anyhow, see, the truth is we don't know how much faith we have. Yeah, we do have a measure. I don't know how big that measure is, but everybody does have a measure. So I'm not saying there's anybody here that's faithless, all right? We do have a measure. You're getting ahead of me, but I like that. Keep doing it. The Lord showed me this recently, and I shared it several times, like at the prayer meeting. I shared it with Jenny, and both times people looked at me like I just flew in from Mars or something. What are you talking about, huh? How much faith do we have? What? We don't really know how much faith we have. What? So anyway, I'm going to explain what I mean by that. I'm going to do some splaining. Yeah. Splain that, Lucy. Anyway, you see, faith is not tangible. We cannot touch it. We have no way of measuring it. There's no such thing as a faithometer that we can, you know, hook to us and check our faith level. So how do we know how much faith is operating in our lives, or if any faith is operating in our lives? It's a pretty good question, even though it may sound a little confusing. Because we can have just a little bit of faith. Just a little bit of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Or we can be full of faith. You know, the Bible says that Stephen, I believe it was full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith. Or we can be somewhere in between. It could be that we have a little faith and think we've got a lot. Or say what? Yeah. Or it could be that we have a lot of faith and think we have a little bit. Yeah, praise God. So how do we know? How do we measure it? I asked Jenny about this a while back when the Lord first showed me this. And she said, well, you feel more confident, you know, when you have faith. You know, you have more boldness. Excuse me. And that's true. People do. People who have strong faith, you'll see that they're very confident and bold.
Yes, in the name of Jesus, glory to God.
And I got that boldness about them, that holy boldness. And that's true. People do seem to have more boldness when they got faith. Yet right on the other hand, there are bold people out there who evidently don't have much faith at all based on the results they get. I mean, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, you know. If there's no proof that you've got all that faith, why do you think you got it? Anyway, so where was I anyhow? Okay. Yeah, right on the other hand, bold people out there who evidently don't have much faith based on the results they get. Selah. Pause and reflect on that. It's possible to think that you're right about something and be very bold about it. I'm talking about me right now. And be wrong the whole time. I've seen it happen. I've done it myself. So then boldness is not an indicator that we're right about something. And I don't think it's necessarily an indication that we have a lot of faith. We can just be bold and not have much faith. See, misguided people can be as bold as anybody. Am I right about this? Okay, praise God. I'm looking at these faces. What? But yeah, it's true. You can be bold and be wrong. Praise God. Well, somebody says, well, I've been a Christian for years, 40 years. I've read the Bible all the way through, and I believe it from cover to cover. I got faith in it. Glory to God. And they can quote scriptures all day long. Because they have a lot of spiritual knowledge that they've accumulated over the years. You know, it's just the way it is. People study over the years. They learn stuff. But is faith operating in their lives right now? In this moment? Not necessarily. Just because they know all this stuff and they've been around it a long time. You see, even though we can know a lot and fully believe it, I believe that. I believe everything the Bible says, brother. I got faith. Well, faith can leak out of us if we're not feeding on the Word, hearing the Word, receiving the Word into our heart. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and with the heart man believes, not the head. It doesn't matter how much you know. Faith is in the heart. It's believed with the heart. Now, faith does not work in us because we know so much in our mind, but faith works in us because the Word is working in our heart. We've received some Word, and it's working in us. Now, don't misunderstand me, what Jenny said. We all have a measure of faith. But if we neglect the hearing and the receiving of the Word in our heart, then that active faith will decrease in us. Okay. See, unbelief can get in us. Even though we've got a lot of faith, we believe the Bible, unbelief can get in us right beside of our faith. And unbelief stops faith from working. It says that Jesus went into his own hometown of Nazareth, and there he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. It stopped even Jesus from ministering in faith. There's another scripture here. There's a story in Matthew chapter 17, also in Mark chapter 9. Story of a man who brought his son who had a dumb spirit, couldn't talk. And they, you know, people say it was epilepsy. I don't know. All scholars say a lot of things. But anyway, this man brought his son to be healed, and he came to Jesus' disciples, and they couldn't cast the devil out of him. But then later on, Jesus came along. Come out of him, you unclean spirit. He was as one dead. As much so, in as much as many people said, yeah, he's dead. But then Jesus took him by the hand and picked him up. So Jesus healed the young man, but his disciples couldn't. Later they asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? And in Matthew, in the account in Matthew, he says, because of your unbelief. There's another one in Mark says, well, because this kind cometh out only by prayer and fasting. But you notice Jesus didn't have to go pray and fast. He was full of faith and boom, come out of him. And he came out. He didn't have to go pray and fast. But he said, because of your unbelief. And so even the disciples who walked with Jesus and healed many people themselves, probably even raised the dead, they had some unbelief in them. So, you know, I hope I'm making a point not being too confusing about it. We know that faith comes by hearing the word, but I also believe that hearing the word of God removes unbelief from us. That scripture in Mark 11:22, I believe 23, says, she'll speak to the mountain, she'll say to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. If you say this and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things are saying, in other words, doubt is an issue. Doubt and unbelief are issues that we deal with, and sometimes we may not even know. You can't tell you got doubt and unbelief anymore than you can tell you got faith. Praise God. I think I'm going somewhere with this. It'll help you, so we'll see in a minute. So why did I ask the question about how much faith we have? Because as I said before, I've been listening to the scriptures about healing a whole lot. And we understand that faith comes by hearing the word of God. But I don't feel like I'm any stronger in faith than usual. It's just me, same old guy, same person. I don't feel any stronger in faith. I don't feel any different. I don't seem to be bolder than usual or more confident. Or maybe I do, I don't know. Yet it seems like my body's being healed from the inside out based on what's been going on with the psoriasis thing and getting healed from COVID and other things are taking place too. And other spots, I had some other dry spots on my skin that have they more or less dissipated altogether. I had a physical a couple of weeks ago and I got a good bill of health. Except it was suggested I drop a few pounds. Oh, well, what can you say? I'm working on it. Those doctors are notorious about that. But anyway, praise God. Healed from the inside out. Did you ever think about it? Divine healing, supernatural healing that works by hearing faith, works by hearing the word of God, comes from the inside out. The word goes into our heart, into our spirit. And with the heart, we believe, and faith comes. And from the faith that's in our heart, the physical body is healed. See, it's not something that I put on you or you put on me. It's something that comes from the inside. The word is working mightily in me. The word. I'm not doing anything. I don't feel like I got any more faith than usual, but the word's working. Praise God. Who can boast in that? I'm not boasting in it. I was caught off guard just like anybody would be. But my point here is that even though I don't feel like I have any more faith than usual, somehow faith seems to be working more than usual. We don't know how much faith we have based on how we feel. We cannot feel faith. We cannot measure it. Praise God. The only way I can know how much faith is working in my life is to know how much of the Word of God I'm receiving into my heart on a continuing basis. The amount of Word we receive determines how much faith is working in us. The amount of Word we receive determines how much faith will work in us. And I'm not talking about just hearing the word in general, like casually reading the Bible. I'm talking about reading or listening to scriptures on specific subjects, specific topics. Scriptures on healing give faith, put faith in us for healing. Verses on overcoming fear and anxiety will cause us to overcome fear and anxiety and give us peace of mind instead of anxiety and worry. Scriptures about God's provision give faith for provision, if provision is what you need. And provision will begin to come. That's an amazing characteristic of the Word of God. When we give it our attention, when we incline our ear to it, when we put it in the midst of our heart, Then faith comes and it becomes life to us and medicine to all our flesh. That's from Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. Let me just read it. Proverbs 4, 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in front of you. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life, or physical life, unto those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Praise God. Amen. No, I believe, hey, when I get up and preach, I want to give you some word. You're going to hear some word. One way or another, you're going to hear it, praise God. And it's going to be a lot of it, too. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I am all over the place, praise God. First things first, I'm going to close on this. And with a couple of thoughts about how we can get important things done in our lives. And how many people believe it's important to spend time hearing the word? Is that an important thing? I think it's very basically important. I think we can all agree to that. So that faith can come and faith can do things in our lives. See, it's not us. It's the power of God, the power of faith. Praise God. Anyway, let me give you an analogy here that illustrates how we can get the important things done. I got this from Stephen Covey's book years ago, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I think it was out in the 80s, pretty big. One of those seven habits was called First Things First. That was habit number three, I believe. First things first. And I'll give you an example. An instructor was teaching a class along this line, and he gave an illustration. He set a gallon jar on the table and ask, you know, how much could we get into that jar? How much stuff can we get into that jar? So he brought out some baseball-sized rocks, and he started putting them in the jar. And he filled the jar up with these baseball-sized rocks. And then he said, is it full? Well, kind of, but there's still, you could put more stuff. Yeah, I could. And brought out a box of pebbles. So then he scooped out some pebbles and put them in there, and the pebbles worked their way down through the spaces between the big rocks. And then he said, well, is it full? Well, maybe. And he brought out a box of sand, and he scooped out some sand and poured it down in there. It worked its way to the bottom. He said, is it full? Well, he brought out a pitcher of water, poured the water in. So finally, the thing was completely full. Amen. So, and he asked the group what they thought this illustrated. Anybody got any ideas what that illustration was? What the point of it was? Oh, you're getting really close there. Very close. That's basically it. She said if you put the water in first, you're not going to be able to get the other stuff in. The water is the least important. And you've actually got it pretty much right on nail on the head, these two answers. The point he was trying to make was that if you didn't put the big rocks in first, you wouldn't be able to get them in later. And the big rocks represent the important things in your life. How do you know what the important things are? I'm just giving my notes here, forget this. How do you know what the important things are? Well, the way that he illustrated that you find that out is you imagine that you're in your last days and you're getting ready to depart from this world. And you're looking back over your life and say, man, I wish I'd done that. I really wish I'd done that. You know, he says, most people at that time don't say, gee, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. No, that's usually the people who are really going there in the office all the time. But anyways, what are the important things in your life? What should I have done? See, when you know what those things are, the weighty things, the big rocks. And so the point is, you need to learn to put those. Let me give you an example. Okay, I've been a songwriter all my life since I was a teenager. We had a band. I wrote songs. We did records, a couple of them. And I've always had that gift. But see, writing songs, to me, it's an important thing in my life, but it's not one of those things that's generally pressing. Well, let's see, you need to do this today. Well, I want to write some songs. Well, I can put that off till later. See, I'm taking the big rock and putting it off to later. That's what this message is about. First things first. What are the important things in your life? And so, you know, I decided earlier this year to start writing, spending more time writing songs. I've written 4 songs already since the first of the year because I've spent time doing that. How about you, Sam? You've been on that art and painting? Not much, maybe. See, it's the thing. I'm going to do that eventually when I get the time. See, you don't get the time. You make the time. I've been watching these videos that come across YouTube once in a while about the Beatles writing songs back in the 60s. And you know, I realized those guys, they went to work every day at 9 o'clock and wrote music all day in the studio. I mean, and they came up with albums in 2 weeks that have been major albums for all these years. And they wrote those songs because they put themselves in a position to have to do it. You know, they didn't wait for the inspiration to come along. And so they did what they did, but it was just work to them. And so I've totally lost where I was in my notes, so let's just go here and say, well, a few days ago I decided, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start my work day with 2 hours of writing music. First thing, and then I'm going to do the regular stuff I need to do, the pressing thing. Of course, the thing is, the first 2 days, I had pressing things come up that kept me from doing it. Well, I need to do this. I need to make these graphics, and they're going to take several hours to do them. I need to work on them to get the car worked on, the brake lights on, the ABS light, anti-lock brakes. So I had to get that fixed. I don't want to, you know, go down the road. Anyway, it was pressing. You can't ignore pressing things. But if you set things up to do them first in the day, this thing of hearing the Word of God, that ought to be one of the first things you do in the day. Spend time hearing the Word of God. Some time, 30 minutes, an hour. I mean, give it some time. Well, anyway, after I got over the pressing things, I was able to write some more and work on some song, work up a song that I've been had going for a while. But when you start focusing on it, suddenly you can do what you didn't think you could do. Josh may say, I ain't got any inspiration to paint or draw. But maybe you don't need inspiration. Maybe you just need to go do some of it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I always waited for the inspiration, but it wasn't there. So can a writer write without inspiration? Yeah. Okay, praise God. See, those are the important things. They're different for each one of us. Every one of us has important things, and we all have pressing things too. We need to find out what the important things and start putting the big rocks in the jar first. We can learn to manage the pressing things while making room for the important things first. So that's just a little time management thing I learned years ago. Hearing the Word of God on a daily basis is one of the important things we can do. And make time for it. Well, I got all this to do. We'll make time before all that. That one activity will have monumental effect on our lives over time. Just that one habit change. Praise God. So set aside time for it. It may not be pressing, but the truly important things in life rarely are. Praise God.